Welcome back to the Chayaruch Nachyomi Learning Program. This is Daniel Eisenberg, and we are in Sefer Yoshua Perek Yud Tes. This is actually a bit of a long perek. Today is 51 psukim, and tomorrow's perek is 9 psukim. So on the one hand, that's the luck of the draw, or using Yehoshua terminology, that's how the goral falls out for the Nachala. Sometimes we have a very long perek, sometimes we have a shorter perek. On the other hand, people who know that they have a longer perek today and a shorter perek tomorrow can maybe plan their day accordingly, sometimes cheat a little bit and save some of the perek for the next day. I'll let you everyone figure out what they need to do in their own lives. Anyway, today's perek features the rest of the land being apportioned out for really for the next the rest of the six tribes, starting with Shimon, and then Zvulun, Yisachar, Asher, Naphtali, and then Dan. And at the end, even if you thought we were done with Dan, it actually ends with Yoshua getting a land as well that the Jewish people bestow upon him. One point that's an interesting thing that we really have to mention is the portion of Shimon. Because the Navi tells us that Shimon's land is actually, he doesn't have his own separate land. It is a, he has a bunch of cities that are like really subsumed in Yehuda's land. Meaning for all the other tribes, they just had, like you just cut off a slice of the map. You have a section of land, a portion of land, and that is their space. And some of them are larger than others, and some of them are a little bit funny, they're all, funny shaped. It looks like a puzzle. But it's unique that Shimon doesn't have their own portion of land. Within Yehuda's land, there are a bunch of Shimoni cities. And the question is why that is. The Navi gives a little bit of an explanation, but really it doesn't seem to be enough. It says that ki haya chelik bnei Yehuda rav mehem, because the portion of Yehuda was too much for them, meaning Yehuda had a particularly big portion. So Shimon lived in there. That doesn't really explain it, because why did Yehuda have to have a larger land? Why couldn't, if Yehuda's land is so large, then if the goral, if Hashem through the lottery is apportioning the land, so then just divide the Yehuda space into two, give one to Yehuda and one to Shimon. So why would that be? And the Hashem explained that there's a different things that we know about the tribe of Shimon in the past. One of the main things that made Shimon stand out, not Shimon the tribe, Shimon the patriarch of the Shimon tribe, Shimon himself, the son of Yaakov, he and Levi stood out in particular in their actions in Parshas Vayishlach with destroying the city of Shechem, which Yaakov was not happy with. Chazal tell us that Shimon and Levi had the lead roles in the sale of Yosef, even though that's not explicit in the text, but they derive it from the text. And then we see on Yaakov's deathbed, Shimon and Levi get quite a severe rebuke from Yaakov, while most of the other brothers seem to get just simple blessings. However, as we move on throughout the Torah, so even though Shimon and Levi seem to have been in the same boat throughout Sefer Bereishis, the individuals, Shimon ben Yaakov and Levi ben Yaakov, seem to have been in the same boat, things seem to shift in the rest of the Torah. First of all, in Shemos, where there is a very clear, I don't know if you want to call it favorability, but a focus on Levium in regards to the Ish Levi, who marries the Bas Levi, referring to Amram and Yocheved, and they have Miriam, and of course, Moshe and Aaron and all the Kohanim, and there's clearly a special role of the Levium. While that's not really the case for Shimon, in fact, from Shimon we see the horrible event that takes place at the end of Parshas Balak with the Moavi and Midiani women, and even a leader, Zimri ben Salu, a leader of the Shimon tribe, sinned and many people from that Shevet, and that was very bad. And of course, at the end of the Torah, when Moshe is giving brachos to all of the Shvatim, all of the tribes, so Shimon is left out. Rashi in Parshas Vayechi by the Berachas Yaakov notes that the bracha or rebuke or whatever it is that Yaakov says to Shimon and Levi is about them being scattered out. Shimon and Levi will be spread out, so that actually has to do with the apportioning of the land, because Levi also does not get its own portion of land, Levi gets a bunch of cities. There are a bunch of cities scattered out through the land, similar to Shimon. But Levi gets it in, I guess, a more exalted way. Rashi does say that many of the people of Shimon were sofrim and were teachers. So they're scribes and they're rebbeim, so they'd be traveling around. But Levi got definitely a more honorable situation. Meaning, yes, the Levium are spread out in cities. They don't get their own portion of land, but they're actually being supported by taxes out of the community, you can call it, with the Miser, and various gifts, and especially to the Kohanim, who are Levium. There are 24 gifts that are given to them, as this tribe takes on a priestly role. And there are many things to learn from this, but just one is the way we transition out of rebuke, receiving rebuke. That Refer speaks about this a little bit in Parsha Shemos. But when Shimon and Levi received basically the same rebuke, they were in the same boat, but we see that the tribes shifted and from that rebuke that they received from Yaakov, so Levi shot up and really stepped up in a different way, and they took the curse and turned it into a blessing. And the Levium, of course, are very special, despite not having their own land. And Shimon maybe did not do that as much. It doesn't mean it's too late for Shimon, right? Shimon has a lot of tremendous strengths and qualities, and of course, the Shimonim could turn any of those curses into a bracha. But it's definitely an important takeaway for us.